for children's church. Right now we have from 4-year-old to kindergarten, right? Or pre-K through kindergarten is going to go with Miss Helen. Our first to sixth grade are going to stay in here with us. So if you're a mama or a daddy of a first to sixth grader, sit on them. You know, it won't be long. Sit near them. They're okay. They're your children. They won't hurt you bad. And but for pre-K to kindergarten, ready, break. If you have your Bible, you can open to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to look at the first 7 verses. We're talking about, we've been talking about commitment. We've been in a series of commitment. And the title is a Commitment to God and to Grace Giving. God and Grace Giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, and yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only that, as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus, and as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence. Hey, baby girl. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. You got Ducky? You got Ducky? All right. All right. Ducky's going too, baby. It's all right. You, Mama, and Ducky, handle it. Verse 7 says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for how you give your word to us. You've given your son to us. You bestowed on your churches all the grace needed. You've even given desire. And so, Father, I pray that as you work in us, that we would respond through giving and being committed to grace giving. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. In this whole series, one of the things that I want to point out, you know, whether we've talked about our commitment to God and God's commitment to us. We've talked about a commitment to living a certain lifestyle, a commitment to God's way, which we summed up as living as children of love, of light, and walking in wisdom. Now we're talking about a commitment that involves giving, giving financially. And this, just like all the other commitments, and when we talk about the commitment to family and to jobs, all these commitments are preceded by a giving of ourselves to God first. So that in no means, in no way, would there ever be the thought or the perception that I give to earn God's favor, or that I can give either financially, or I can give of my time and my talent, or I can serve the Lord in a specific ministry and have that service stand in the place of actually truly giving myself to God. God's not after our money. God's not after our time. God's after us. And in this commitment, when we look at commitment from a biblical point of view, we have to see that first, that the first and foremost, we commit ourselves to the Lord in a response to His grace. And when we look at this passage, we see that it falls right in line with that. Before we hear about God receiving or taking anything, we see that God first gave. God gives. God initiates through giving. He's the first giver. And it's not just in finances, it's also in love. Do you know what the Bible says? Why do you love God? We love God, it says, because He first loved us. Not because we're holy and righteous and all goody-two-shoe. We didn't love God because we said, you know, loving God is the right thing to do. We didn't sit down one day and say, you know, the greatest of commandments written in the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I think I'm going to take that on right now. I think I'm going to do that. No, we love God because God demonstrated an extravagant love toward us in Christ. When we think about love, what's the, you know, we thought about that one verse. We didn't first love God, but God first loved us. But can you think of a verse that comes to mind that involves giving and love and God taking the initiative? What verse comes to your mind? This is a famous one. It rhymes with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the initiator of love. He's the initiator of giving. And in this passage that is specific about financial giving, we hear this: Brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches. You know, this, even in this giving, it wasn't something that was initiated from the well-meaning hearts and the wallets and the pockets of the people of God. It first started with God. There is a great grace bestowed upon the churches. We can look and see what that grace is. What is some of the grace that's bestowed upon the churches? Maybe it ought to be better to say, what's not the grace bestowed upon the churches? Because in verse 2, we kind of make some things clear. You know, it's not a grace of God just to go through this life without trials. It's naive, it's childish, it's foolish to think that you can go through this life without trials. But many people, nonetheless, define grace as no trials, no struggles, no worries, no shortcomings, no valleys, no mountains in our way. Everything's just flat. Everything's just the way it is. It'll never change. It's got to be this way. That is not how the grace of God works. It says here that God bestowed grace on the churches of Macedonia that in their great trial of affliction, in the great trial of their affliction, did you know you can bring grace with you into your great trial of affliction? That the churches, those churches that were in Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece, by the way, if you just, for those who have a map in our brain, and you can think about that area, modern-day Greece, this is what was going on. They had a great affliction. And that wasn't it. They had a deep poverty. If grace is all about the circumstances being the way you want, why didn't it work that way for this church? Because I'm sure they didn't want to have great trials of affliction, and I'm sure they didn't want to have deep poverty either. Grace doesn't just come and fix the circumstances and take away the bumps and the bruises. The grace that God bestows, even in the realm of giving, is there and it remains there no matter what the circumstances are. We ought to be so hand-raising happy that God's grace isn't fair-weathered. That God's abundance doesn't just flow in the good times. That God's love's not just there when we're obedient and nice and good little children. That's not how it works. The grace of God is bigger than that. The grace of God is uncontainable. The love of God is unceasing. It's deeper than any poverty that you'll experience. And there's a joy yet to be experienced in that. And I want you to notice this about this church and the grace bestowed upon it. If you look at verse 2, in between great trial of affliction and deep poverty, What word do you see in between there in those phrases? What was there between the great trial of affliction and the deep poverty? What does it say in verse 2? What was there? An abundance of joy. Not just any kind of joy, but an abundance of joy. Y'all, let me tell you, the grace of God is deeper and stronger and vaster than anything that you and I face. There's a way to have joy in the trial. In James chapter 1, in verse 2, he says this, "Consider it pure joy, unmitigated joy, unmixed joy, when you fall into various trials." Consider it pure joy? Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be complete and perfect and lacking nothing. That's the arena where the grace of God works. So often, we decide whether or not we're going to give depending on our circumstances, what we have. Has God blessed financially? Is there an abundance financially? Are we in good times or are we in bad times? But I'm going to tell you, the grace bestowed upon the churches is that they found a deep joy in giving right in between poverty and great trials of affliction. This grace was bestowed upon the church, a mature outlook that said, we're going to give because God has given grace. A grace that stands in the midst of hardships, in the midst of poverty. The end of that verse says, in their deep poverty, they abounded in the riches liberally, which means they gave a lot. But I don't even want to go to the idea of an amount. Giving, like I've said before, is a matter of the heart. For someone to say, I'm too poor to give, is an excuse. And their heart is not a generous heart. It's not a heart that sees grace. God doesn't ask you to give more than what you can. He asked the millionaire to give 10%. He asked the one in poverty to give 10%. If you made a dollar, you can give a dime. That's a heart issue. And if you've made a dollar and you refuse to give a dime, if you had $1 million, you would refuse to tithe on that too. It's a heart issue. It's heart. It's not about the circumstances. These folks experienced a grace from God that surpassed in height their affliction and in depth their poverty to where they were willing to give. But it starts with God. The grace of giving to God. In the next verses, verses 3 through 5, Paul is testifying to their eagerness. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. When we understand the grace of God that is higher than our greatest afflictions and deeper than our deepest poverty, there ought to become an enthusiasm for giving. An enthusiasm that doesn't have to be prompted, that doesn't have to be cajoled, that doesn't have to have a big fat pastor in a suit yelling at you every week, gotta give, gotta give, gotta give, gotta give. That's something that Christ Community Church has said from the very beginning we weren't going to do. We're going to focus on the gospel and not say, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. There ought to be an enthusiasm. And where there's not, it's probably because there's been a loss of vision. There's been a loss of heart, a loss of saying, you know, I invest in God's kingdom because I believe God's kingdom is the best way. I invest at Christ Community Church because I believe they're doing a work of God and a work of grace in this area in Grenada. And when there's been a loss of vision, I understand that there's going to be a lackluster of giving. And that's something I believe God has to bestow upon us again. That vision for saying we have the message of grace. We know of the personal relationship with the man of grace. And now it's a matter of giving of ourselves first. And then on to this, to give of ourselves to the Lord. In verse 5, it says there, what were they eager to do? It says, they gave themselves to the Lord. Now that's speaking of finances and heart. That's speaking of the totality of life. But I wonder, has God ever come to you with a bargain and said, you know, I'll take half of your life. I want you to live half of your life for me. There's 7 days in a week, and since I'm God, why don't you give me 4 and I'll let you keep 3? Why don't you live for me on Sunday, Wednesday, and let's throw Tuesday in there because, you know, there's no fun going on, and Monday. Just Sunday through Wednesday, live for me, and Thursday through Saturday, it's all you. Has God ever made a bargain with you like that? Live for God while you're around church people and when you're at the church house. The rest of the time is yours. Has God ever made a bargain with you like that? Or has God said, you need to be all in? How did Christ give Himself to us? Did Jesus give Himself up in measure? I'll give you a down payment today. I'll give myself a little bit by little bit. How much of Him went on the cross? All or part? Was it everything or was it just half? Was His full attention there? Was His sacrifice complete? What's missing? What if we looked at this, because it says they gave themselves first to the Lord. Can we see anything missing in what the Lord gave to us? What's missing? What's incomplete? Where's the lack? And if there isn't any lack, can we ever justify not giving ourselves wholeheartedly to Him? And where do we hold back? If we were to make some kind of bargain with God, I imagine the places we would make our bargain would be in our time and our money. What we do with our time and what we do with our money. And I understand that. I understand a desire to have fun, a desire to stay in control, a desire to say, I've got to protect myself and my family. This is my one life and I've got to do what I've got to do. I understand those things. But I also understand this. Those are things the child of God outgrows. Those are things that a child of God outgrows. And it doesn't happen over time, by the way. The children of God don't grow chronologically. Did y'all know that? I mean, you might have a long time between the time you were saved and right now, but that doesn't mean you've been growing spiritually this whole time. You could have made a profession of faith long ago and still be a baby in Christ, even after decades. You could have been in church for decades and still be a babe in Christ, never have grown, never have taken on yourself to feed yourself from the Word or to look on to Christ and allow Him to grow you and transform you. Those things are all entirely possible. But for those who look unto Christ and see what He's done, they're all the more willing to give themselves up for Him. That's a part of growth. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then unto us. They implored us. They implored us. They begged us that they might give financially to be a part of the ministry that Paul and Titus were talking about. They implored. And that's probably when they said, wait, brothers, you all are a poor church. You all don't have much. We don't want to burden you with this. That's why they had to beg. They wanted to be a part. Where's that mindset? Think about the mindset that in the Old Testament, they're building the tabernacle, and they got so excited. The people were bringing, they're bringing gold, they're bringing silver, they're bringing cloth, they're bringing all this stuff, and you can only imagine it was heaping up. It was piling up, kind of like the bathroom tissue behind me is piling up, and this stuff is piling up. And it got to the point where Moses and Aaron had to say, stop. There's too much. There's too much. There's a time during the dedication of the temple, they were bringing animals to be sacrificed. And they were piling them up. And it says that they couldn't keep up with it. There's a time like that in Nehemiah. The Levites and the priests couldn't keep up with the sacrifice that was being offered. It was too much. Now, the Bible doesn't say that was the status quo. It doesn't say that was always the case. You know, it wasn't always the case where things were abundant and where things were flowing. But what's the principle? The principle is when we give ourselves to the Lord, everything else follows. If we realize that in Christ, God gave us His everything, then when we give ourselves to Christ, everything goes. We're all in. That's what this is saying. And that's a grace. You might say, man, that doesn't sound good to me. I don't know about being all in with God. Do you not? Do you not look forward to heaven? Won't you be all in with God then? Do you trust God to take you to heaven, but you can't trust God to get you through the end of the month? Isn't that a weird perspective? I trust Him to do this colossal task of taking a sinner, a lifelong sinner, converting him into a man who loves God, making him fit for heaven, but I don't know if I can give a dime out of that dollar I got. There's something about that that doesn't jive. Y'all, there's a grace in realizing that all that you have and that all that you need comes from God and that you can trust Him. You know, one of the sayings that's repeated throughout the book of Psalms, I read part of that even last week, is this. Blessed, and this is Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. Blessed are all who put their trust in the Lord. Blessed are all who put their trust in the Lord. Not just some, not just partially, but we put our trust in the Lord, and that is the place of blessing. Now, this isn't a TV church, so I'm not going to tell you that God's going to give you tenfold back what you give. I'm not going to sell you a prayer cloth. I'm not going to do any of those things. I'm not going to do a hula hoop rain dance and ask that God just pour out things on you. But I will tell this, God is trustworthy, and you can trust Him not only with your life, with the life of your children, but also your time and your finances. You can trust God with those crucially important and rare resources. You can trust God. And blessed are the ones who put their trust in the Lord. There's a grace to giving to God of yourself and making that a priority and getting enthused about it, being excited over it. Lastly, there's a challenge to grace giving. There's a challenge to grace giving. Verses 6 and 7, especially in verse 7, it says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love, see that you abound in this grace also. In other words, there's a place for us to grow in giving. When we make a commitment, the title of this sermon is a commitment to grace, to God, and to grace giving. There's a place for us to grow. Is anybody here satisfied with the level of faith they have and say, you don't need any more faith, you don't need to grow in your faith at all? Anybody here satisfied? Anybody here got to the point where they have all the faith they need? Anybody here to the point where they have all the diligence they need? How about all the knowledge? Anybody here as knowledgeable as they ever need to be? Anybody here as loving? You've just reached the point. You are as loving as anybody could be, and if you were any more loving, you would just explode into warm, fluffy, pink bunnies. Anybody like that here? We acknowledge in those areas there's needs to grow. How about in your speech? I think about this as a preacher. I need to grow in my speech, in my witness, in my encouragement, in my counsel, in everywhere where I talk. I need to be able to talk as the oracle of God, really. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm not there. I need to talk in a Spirit-filled way. I need to be able to carry God's message clearly and boldly. Do you know what the Apostle Paul prayed for more than anything else in his letters? Pray for me that I might speak boldly the mystery of the gospel the way I ought to speak. And if the Apostle Paul's got to grow in his preaching, surely Big John's got to grow in his preaching, and I'm not there yet. But we accept all those things. We accept we have to grow in faith. We accept that we have to grow in speech and knowledge and diligence and love. But I wonder if we understand we need to grow in our grace giving also. Grow in this grace also, that you might abound in this grace also. To do a self-examination. Where am I at with my giving? Have I given myself to the Lord? Have I given a tithe? Am I in a place where I can make offerings? Or are we tight? Is it, we can't do anything, we're just trying to squeeze this out? Well, you got to have a priority. You got to have a plan. What if you give nothing right now? I don't have them up here with me, and I'm just saying this. There's a couple facts, financial facts. One is that the people who give at this church have been in the last 2 years have given more than they've ever given. There's been an abundance, not only in, you know, there's been a lot given in the regular offering, plus another $50,000 for the building fund that's been raised on top of that. That's been awesome. But if you look around right now, there's less than 15% of the people in this room that give. That's hard. So what if you're at the point of zero? I give nothing to the Lord. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what God's going to do. What if you're at 0%? Why don't you try 1%? Why don't you see what 5% will do? Why don't you grow? Grow in this. How'd you grow in your faith? You had to read. You had to read your word. You had to step out. I talked to a young man who had something very wise to say, but it was very hard for him to communicate it. And I asked him, I said, ask God to help you with the courage to communicate what's hard for you and grow in that, because you're going to have times when it's hard to say things because they're emotional or because they're so personal. Last night I got to see a young man, 15-year-old, stand in front of 50 people that he didn't know very well and say, I haven't been living right, and I want to give my life back to the Lord. I made a profession of faith sincerely about 4 years ago, but I haven't been living like that, and I just want you all to know that I am giving my life all in to Jesus Christ. I got to witness that God let me pray and work with him. I got to see three other boys that I didn't work with personally, but I got to celebrate, who are giving their life to Christ for the first time, but making a public, they're taking a step of witness, and they're letting it be known. It wasn't secret. It's pretty awesome. There are hard things that we have to do in this walk of faith. Make a commitment to grow in your giving. Make a commitment to grow in your giving. And it's not too late, because this church is alive. We may be in the midst of trial. We may be on the bookend by financial hardship. But that doesn't mean there can't be joy in the meantime. And it doesn't mean that the vision has died and that we can't move forward in what we're doing. But it's going to take a commitment, really, like there's never been. There's going to be a need to be a commitment of folks who say, I'm going to try the Lord. I'm going to move this way. I'm going to grow this way. There's a great grace in giving. I want to end just with this. It's a Bible proverb. Jesus said it. Paul quotes it in the book of Acts. He said, it's better to give than to receive. That's not just a... I think we almost think it's cultural, you know, like cultural proverbs that pass around, but that's there in the Scripture. It's better to give than receive. I've had, for years, the opportunity to work at the food pantry in Grenada. And you know, every time I go, and I haven't been there, when I go back, I'll have to introduce myself. Hey, I'm Big John. I used to come here a long time ago. I haven't been in several months. But every time I'm there, I'm reminded of this. I'm glad I'm given. I'm glad I'm given. I don't hold any ill will towards those who are receiving, because I know many of the backstories. Many of them are older folks. Many of them are folks with a lot of children that have fallen upon hard times. And I'm glad to be able to be a part of something that's giving rather than receiving. Y'all understand? And if you think about it, that principle holds true in what we're talking about. It's better to give than receive, and it's a grace. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And we're going to make the invitation the same that's there in chapter 8. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then to us. When he says, and then to us in verse 5, that was the financial gift. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. So our invitation is going to be this. If you need to give yourself to the Lord, if there's any place where you're held out and it's not all in, you're not all in with Jesus, even though he's been all in with you. If there's any point like that God identifies in your life and you need to get that out, come give yourself. Give that out. Do business with him. And if you're a place where you say, you know, I haven't given. I haven't made it. I have not got into that grace of giving. I haven't been listening to the Word or growing in the Word to where it talks about that grace of giving. And God's changed your heart about that and you want to make that commitment. You come up and do business with God and make that commitment. There's room up here. You can come up there. If you need to stand up here, you can come and stand or sit in these chairs and make that commitment or kneel here. Or you can do it from your seat. It don't matter to me in that sense. I, as the pastor, want to say to y'all, we need, as a church, to make that commitment. So wherever you make it, that's fine. But make your commitment to God, yourself first, and also the grace of giving. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, to grow in the areas of giving. There is a faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and love. But Father, amongst those things also to be growing in our giving, trusting in you, growing in our trust, walking in the blessedness of all those who trust the Lord. Help us to be that kind of church that we recognize the grace that's been bestowed upon us. That we look to joy in the midst of the various trials. Because we look with understanding, knowing that God has not meant for our harm, but meant for our growth, for our sanctification, for His glory. And we give you all the praise. And if there's any here who's struggling, Lord God, do a work in their life. For those who need to be challenged, Lord, challenge. For those who need to be comforted, comfort. And we turn it over to you, Father, to do your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just for a moment, if there's something, if there's a commitment you need to make, now is the time. It's not going to be a long window of opportunity, but now is the time if you need to make some commitment to the Lord.
to find you.
Print it off. All right. We have a copy printed off of the handouts. They were kind of light, so we're trying to get them darkened up a little bit. But get the curriculum for Wednesday church if you're one of those teachers, and then plan a meeting for Wednesday children's workers at 6 o'clock Wednesday. And then for those who can, after the finance meeting, I want to set up a meeting for those who work with children on Sunday. I'd like to do it next Sunday. If y'all can, just plan to meet. That'd be the first Sunday in August for everyone who works in the children's program on Sunday mornings. Okay, so this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, a meeting, and then Sunday after church, a meeting. And so if y'all would write that down, that'd be great. Y'all aren't back to meeting yet, the youth on Sunday night? No, okay. And also, the Wednesday night children's back-to-school event is going to be August the 6th. So August the 6th, that's not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday following, we're going to have your back-to-school event for our kids. And so just be planning on that, too. I can't think if there's anything else. I'm going to dismiss our service. And so for anybody who has to go, that's fine. But then I'm going to also invite Eddie to come forward, and we're going to get a finance meeting started. Okay? So let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this service. And as we go into our meeting, Father, I just pray that you, in a spirit of cooperation, kind of like we sang, that you would melt us, mold us, break us, fill us, that we would be filled with the fruit of the Spirit as we talk to one another as family members in the body of Christ, under the one leadership of Jesus Christ, our head and our Savior and our Lord. And Father, also just that the as far as looking forward and how we're to operate in our children's ministry and in our band, Father, give leadership. Father, come up and show us your way. You showed us that we have children, children who need to be cared for, children who are here. And Father, help us to know how to go forward and for your glory, but for their sake. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break. If you're going to stay for the finance meeting,